Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Hey, yo, what's up? This is Rick Thorne. Welcome to The Rick Thorne Show. On this episode, I got the very talented Joel Jimenez. He's a drummer, a skateboarder, and a stand-up comedian. He's multi-talented. He's a super cool dude. I'm going to call him right now. Let's do this. So what's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. Yeah, no complaints. Just same old shit, which is good for me. That means nothing crazy has happened. Yeah, I don't know. Enjoying life, man. Things are going well.
First off, everybody out there, I want everybody to know, you are like, what I like most about you is you're a multi-talented dude. You do all kinds of stuff. You know, you don't stick to one thing. Yeah, man. So I met you back when you were in the Kill Tony days.
Yeah, for sure. At the Comedy Store.
Yeah, at the Comedy Store. Yeah. And so it was like, and then I found out that you skate and then you're in a band and you obviously you do comedy. And so I just wanted to cover everything, get more people to get to know about you and like just, you know, to talk about your band and I guess I'll start off with like, you're a skater, right? Did you grow up skateboarding all the time?
For sure. That was probably my first love, man. Yeah. That was before everything else was skateboarding.
Yeah. What did you skate mostly?
I pretty much everything. It was kind of hard to find transition out here because it was like there weren't a lot of skate parks when I was a kid, you know, like they opened one that was like a temporary skate park in Glendale, which is like 15 minutes from me. They had a mini ramp. And that was like the first time I ever got onto like a ramp. But before that, it was school tables, benches, stairs, things like that.
Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Frogtown, like Northeast LA, by Dodger Stadium.
Oh, okay, so
like,
got it.
It's like down the hill from Dodger Stadium, on the other side of the hill from Echo Park.
Frogtown in the house. What was it like growing up skating in Frogtown? Was there a lot of gangs and stuff?
Yeah, it used to be kind of, it was a little more gnarly than it is now. It's definitely like gentrified and completely changed. I was maybe one of 6-7 kids that skated, and like the neighborhood's kind of split up into two halves. So we got Parkside and Churchside, and I was maybe one of two on my side of the neighborhood. And then there was a group of like five or four on the other side, and sometimes we'd hang out. But yeah, it was cool, man. Skateboarding was not cool when I was a kid. So it's weird to even grasp that now with how mainstream it is, you know?
Absolutely.
We get made fun of all that. I mean, I remember this, like, I was skating these stairs. I grew up a block away from this rec center. I was skating these stairs, and this like cholo kid came up to me and was like, "Hey, man, you didn't hear? Skateboards are out. Bikes are in." And I was like,
"Oh, is he talking BMX?"
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to punk you, bro.
I was like, what's funny is like when you're a kid, the skateboarders kind of, they hated the rollerbladers, but the bike guys were always cool. We're like, that's cool. I dig that. You know,
yeah.
I would build fucking the jankiest jump ramps in front of my house. I used to like jump my bike and stuff like that. Never got like super good at it, but I was always a fan of like getting air, you know?
You know, it's even crazier to back up even before, because I'm a little older than you. Before there was scooters and inliners that the skaters didn't like, yeah, it was the bike riders. So,
really?
Well, not really so much where I was raised in the Midwest in Kansas City. So we all got along. We were all freaks. But in the 80s, I'm talking like the 80s. And so we would always joke and we would be like, "Oh, we're finally accepted by the skaters. Thank God to the scooters and the inliners."
Man,
they like us.
Was my mic working all right? Because I just turned up my thing.
It was working right, but now it's
all right. Great.
Better. Yeah, now it's
all right.
Better.
Great.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny because it's like we all do the same stuff, just a different instrument. You know what I mean? You know what I found out? A lot of dudes that skated rode bikes too. That's why I never understood like what the big problem was, because I tried skateboarding and bro, I got speed wobbles and bounced off. You know
really?
What I mean? I'm like, yeah, I'm like. But I'm, you know, that's in the 70s. I was like, this isn't for me. But so
yeah, that's
think,
interesting. Go
yeah.
Ahead.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's cool. I don't mind talking about that. You know, those days were cool, but I want to make this about you. Do you think that skateboarding helped you stay out of trouble?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think skateboarding kind of set me up for life. I mean, you know, you skate, you watch these videos, the videos have this music in it, and that music kind of, whatever it is, punk, all that, you know, it shapes your politics and your worldview. And like, I don't know, opens up creativity. I mean, you must know this as a BMXer. It's like you'll never look at architecture the same. You know, I don't think
Oh, no,
we look at
never.
stairs, anything like that, at like anybody else, you know? So it just kind of like opened up my mind. And I was never good at team sports, so that was like really good to have that independence and be able to go have fun on my own. And same with stand up now, you know, you're just up there by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to get into stand up too and compare the two because people always
Yeah.
ask me. But you know, you're right about skating. You see a ledge, like you'll be out of town or you go somewhere new and you like see a ledge and like you just
Yeah.
look. The first thing you do is like, I want to grind. Like, what can I do on that thing? It's like, it's no one knows unless you do what we do, right? It's like
Yeah, for
crazy.
sure.
You
Yeah,
see
for everybody
something.
else, it's just stairs or a
Yeah.
bench, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's their perception. This is awesome. Which I love the fact that, okay, so you skated. Did you also play music at the same time, or did that come later?
That came later. I got my first drum kit like Christmas, the year I was like I turned 14. So that was like, but I was always that kid drumming on tables, and teachers fucking hated me. You know, my mom said like the babysitter used to like pull out the pots and pans and let me hit stuff. So it was a very natural. When I got my drum kit, I was like, oh, this is it. And then that was the goal from 14 till I was maybe 20 or whatever. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be like a punk rock drummer. That's gonna be my shit, you know. And I was super inspired by Byron from Pennywise and all that. Those were like, or you know, Trey Cool, all that shit. Was like, that's what I would like play in my headphones constantly. My Poor Neighbors, man. I was probably really bad for a long time, man. My mom, I've told this story a million times, but she used to bake like brownies and coffee cake and shit for the neighbors so they wouldn't call the cops or get bummed on us because we were,
Oh, really?
yeah, too loud for no fucking reason, you know, zero talent, all heart.
And so
Which is also,
she'd be like, "Don't get mad. Here's some brownies. 'Cause we're
yeah,
cool, right?"
like let's smooth this out. Yeah, but that's like the yeah, man, all that skating punk, all the like sort of just energy, no skill, but like wanting it and believing in it, and you know, I don't know, I was a true believer in the punk thing, and I still am, you know. It's that has also changed my life in a big
Yeah.
way. I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the reason I brought up the music and the skating together is because I noticed in BMX, there's a lot of people that do both, but
Yeah.
we don't really have a thing to title like BMX punk, you know, or like skate punk, like that kind of thing, right?
Gotcha.
And
Yeah.
it seemed like a lot more skaters were into punk rock and starting bands than the bike riders were, or if bike riders did, there wasn't as many. And so I was always influenced by everybody and then just got to know more people. And so what I'm saying is that I through the years, I noticed that a lot of people do both, and it's kind of like it one helps the other. Do you
For
ever feel
sure.
that way?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's all yeah, I mean, dude, all those the early Tony Hawk video games, I mean, like all that, the music and that, yeah, they're all fucking bed buddies, man. All of it's together. It's a trip. Yeah, we did this my band played this like art show, like a punk photo art show thing, and we were getting interviewed after, and I realized that like I have been a part of that culture for forever. I'm 36 now. It like punk and all that shit probably started for me with like Dookie, and then it's just been a constant throughout my life. So it's always been there, man. Yeah, I love it.
So for you growing up, the way that you saw sports and punk rock was like you saw it on TV.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, for the
When I
most
was,
part, right?
yeah, X Games was kind of new, I feel like, or it was still like kind of hard to catch. I didn't know, we didn't have like the TV guide or whatever, so I didn't. You would just kind of like on a Saturday be flipping channels, and you'd see. That's another thing. I would see fucking the Dirt Jump or whatever. You see dudes like Todd Lyons and
Oh yeah, Todd.
Trevor Meyer and Dave Mirra.
Yeah.
You would watch whatever it was that was on, and yeah, man. Also, like GT bikes was. Felt like it was so big in the like Latino community, like BMX, like
Oh, cool.
GT Dino was like the shit. And then I remember getting I would get like BMX magazines too, and like I wanted a Fat Boy when I was
So did you want to
little.
ride? So you wanted to ride bikes before skating? Or
I
both at
think
the
they
same
were I
time?
think they were all kind of at the same time, but maybe bikes first, because I didn't really know. I didn't have access to skateboards. I think bikes were kind they're around because they've been. They weren't they're maybe they're older than skateboards were, you know.
Yeah, and they're easier to, well, bike, the thing about bikes, one advantage is that you could travel a lot further quicker, you
For
know.
sure.
And so that's
Yeah.
why I got into it, just to get out of the house and just go as far as I can, like, you know.
Wow, wild.
But yeah, but it's cool you know all that. So I didn't know you knew all the stuff about GT, and you threw up Trevor
Yeah.
Meyer. Like, I haven't heard that name in so long. So
Yeah, I remember I
you know
saw
what's
Todd
up.
Lyons rode for Huffy, and I remember I watched one dirt jump competition he had, and he like snapped the frame. He
Oh
did like
yeah.
some flip something, and the frame snapped where the fork is. And I had an uncle who worked at a chroming plant, and so I would get these like shitty old bike frames, and he would chrome the forks. And like I remember getting like a GT sticker pack and making like a bootleg GT bike.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I didn't have the money to get a real one, so I just had this. But it was sick. It was like a shitty bike that was chrome, so it looked nice. And I threw the stickers on it. And I remember people trying to like press me and be like, "The serial number on GTs is right here. Yours isn't there." And I was like, "Fuck, man."
That whole serial number thing, oh, I got a
Crazy.
serial number on here.
I got a dyno bike for my birthday 1 year. And I remember I tried to bunny hop up this two stair, and the tire just landed right on the edge of the stair and just poof, completely popped.
Bus
And then
kill.
my dad didn't fix the tire for probably forever. I think that was it with the bike, you know? That's what
So
I like about skating too. Easier to fix, easier to handle on my own. I don't know how to fucking, I think I could probably do it now, but changing a tire on a bike when I was a kid was like, pff.
dude, it's a mission. I'll tell you right now, even when I still get a flat to this day, I'm like, really, dude, this is a drag.
It's a bummer.
The thing with BMX, it's different than skating, is we just have a lot more components. I mean, what do you
Yeah.
got? You got wheels, trucks, bearings,
That's it.
board, grip
Bushings.
tape, bush. You know,
Yeah.
it's like, and it's easier to carry, and it's kind of like, and you could do it everywhere. But BMX is still kind of punk rock to a degree, where you're wanted, but you're not wanted, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, we're
Yeah.
cool with you, but don't ride here, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember seeing like, you know, the pegs would like fuck up certain things or whatever it was, just by the nature of the machine, you know. But yeah, whatever.
I've dealt with that for so many years. And but my perception of like us as a unity was, you know, because I'm a little bit older than you, but like in the, you know, mid-80s, you're going to high school, and punk rock's like so underground that the BMX and skaters stuck together, because we were
Yeah.
all the freaks, and we were
For
like,
sure.
you know. And then there's the football players, you know,
Yeah.
and now my son's a football player,
Wild, dude.
hardcore one, and
That's what happens.
he's fucking awesome at it. I'm all
I've seen
about it.
some of the
I'm
footage,
all
man.
about
That's
it.
awesome. Good.
He's a beast. He's a beast.
See,
But
that's
that's
what's
cool.
cool. You're supportive of your kid, whatever they're gonna do, you know. I think that we've also learned that from like maybe some of our not my my I've had very supportive parents, but friends of mine, their parents didn't want them skating, they didn't want them playing music or shit like that. But since we've seen that, our friends are having kids and stuff, you're noticing a lot more support and just backing them in whatever it is they want to do, you know?
And I'll tell you this much real quick on, you know, about kids, is that like I also too sometimes have to stop myself and realize that my kids aren't necessarily like me, meaning that like we're all different. Not that they
For
don't have the
sure.
characteristics, but I may be a bit more aggressive about things, but also too my age, and I realize how much longer am I going to be alive? I gotta, you know, like how much longer can I ride? I'm always thinking that way. That's what pushes me to keep going. And you
Yeah.
got to remember that your kid, and I have to remind myself that you want them to push them, but they have time to figure things out. Everyone's going to figure out what they want to do at a different pace. You
Yeah,
know what I mean?
for
But
sure.
as a
Yeah.
parent, I see all these football dads and moms, and their quest is to get their use football to get their kid a scholarship. And I'm like, that's cool, but is your kid having fun along the way?
Yeah, for
Is the
sure.
scholarship the be all end all of happiness? Like, you know, it's
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like
Yeah.
this weird balance you got to have,
Well,
man.
we've seen like the alternative paths, so we know that it's not just the whatever everybody's telling you to do. You know, there is, you know, go to college, do this, fucking get married, have kids, all this. It's great if that's what you want, but yeah, if it doesn't make you happy, it isn't the only way to do anything, you know.
There's a philosopher, Alan Watts, and he talks about that. And he has this one, I'll send it to you. It's this one.
Cool.
He talks about like, if you're always waiting for this next thing, you're always waiting for this next thing. And then you go to college, and then you graduate, and you get your job, and you wake up like, and you're 35 and you're 40 and you're selling insurance, and you realize not much
Oof,
changed because
man.
you didn't enjoy the ride.
For sure.
So
Yeah.
that's
Jeff
the
Ross always says that with stand up. He says, enjoy the process.
who does?
Jeff Ross.
Oh,
Yeah. I've heard
that's
him
right. He does. Oh, I love
tell
him.
multiple people that. Yeah. So it's like a, Yeah, you gotta stop and fucking smell the roses every now and then, man. I've been trying to do
Yeah.
that more and more now, man. The older I get, you know, I'm 36, but it's like, it starts to fucking kind of close in on you, and you have to pick your moments and really like appreciate what you have,
Yeah.
you know, every day, man.
Yeah, well, I think we get caught up with money more. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, I mean,
Not in a greedy, not in a greedy way, but
no, for
we're in an
sure.
industry where it's like this, okay, sorry to cut you off, but like this show is going to end. What's next? Do you ever
Yeah.
feel that way?
A little bit too much. Yeah, but now I'm starting to there are a couple of friend groups I have or whatever, or being with people where like I'm actually present with them and I'm not. But yeah, I get into that too where I'll be even with my best friends and be like just thinking about, "Oh, I got to go do this thing later." But it's also the dude, I dropped out of high school, man. I chose this path that is I do have to work twice as hard as everybody else. Maybe not in comedy because your degrees don't really matter, but like I don't have a lot of options as far as like work. So I am, you know, no safety net. I have to fucking I've started to every set that I'm doing now or every when I'm playing drums, I'm trying to act like my life depends on it. Not in like a fucking toxic way, but like it kind of
Yeah.
it does. And I might as well die up there instead of like you know, get fucking get rich or die trying. Not get rich, but like do the thing or die trying, you know, because that there's not any other real options for me. I like that, but it can be scary.
Does it push you?
For sure. Yeah, I think so. I think when I especially lately, man, I've had a bit of a like a mental shift now working at the store and realizing how close it is. I mean, a lot of my, you know, I've been doing stand up 11 years, and back when I started, I never thought I would be at the store, and I always wanted to be a store guy, and now I'm a door guy there. And watching my friends get past, I realized like, oh, I'm in the arena. Like this is a possibility. As long as I don't squander this, if I don't fuck this up, I can have this. I just got to
Right.
keep doing it. And so it's motivating, but it's scary. And whatever. I'll just trying to make good choices, man. I just quit drinking like 9 months ago, so like trying to not self-sabotage because I definitely do that. And I don't know, trying to keep my head on straight, man. Be
So you
grateful.
say self-sabotage, you mean like in a way to where like you feel like you're not gonna get there or you're afraid of success or a
Possibly,
little
yeah.
bit of both?
I think I'm afraid of success. I think I'm afraid of a certain type of success. There are comics where I really appreciate their careers. Like they can they're working, they're popular, but they can go to the market and fucking nobody knows who they are. And
Right.
I would like that.
Oh, you
But
like that kind of like instead of like the fame of like walking down the street, everybody's like, oh God, it's Joel, what's up? You wouldn't want that.
I like maybe like small fame. I mean, with Kill Tony, it was sick. Like I still get recognized at the store for shit like that. That I like. I'll get, you know, fist bump, picture, all that stuff. It's great. I will never be bummed that somebody cares about the things I've done. But like fame kind of scares me because I know that if I'm given everything I've ever wanted, that my brain is the devil and I'll figure out a way to fuck it up.
You mean the pressure?
The pressure, yeah, because the pressure would lead to me probably doing drugs or something to deal with the pressure, and then becomes an everyday occurrence. And then now fucking you're fat and fucking dying and your body's giving out
And you're
on you
alone
because
and shit.
yeah, we know
Dude,
people like that too.
it's a hard balance. I know some people like that. You would say,
For
this guy's
sure.
got everything, and it's like they got money, but you could just look at their face. You never look at someone's face and you see
Of course.
their mouth downwards when they're sitting still, that means they're unhappy as hell because
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
their disposition inside. I get it, bro. I've dealt with that stuff too. You know, learning how to deal with it and who your friends are and
For sure.
who, you know what I mean? And who like, but it makes you stronger. You know, my whole story is I went through a lot and what I've learned at least is that like, you know, if you're doing things because you love them, and if that comes along, that fame comes along with it, learning to adjust to deal with that is a different kind of monster. Because I would always say, like, getting there is one thing, and then keeping it is another, you know? And the
Yeah, for
pressures of
sure.
keeping that name, because now people expect out of you. So when people expect out of you, that's where the pressure comes in, right? So,
Yeah,
yeah.
man, wild.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
you're
that
afraid of
maintaining.
more of that. Yeah.
I think so, but I mean, I think that yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm not really afraid because I don't really know. But it's just the unknown. It's why it's just kind of crazy to think about the unknown. Yeah, I don't know if it's fear or just not knowing,
Are
you
there a
know?
lot of comics like that, though? You think that, like I say, and everyone out there, Joel also does comedy. And when he talks about the store, he's talking about the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Because people might not know. But check it out. Are there comics like that that like have like, because I've been doing comedy for 5 years now, and I know all you guys, and I get the industry. It's not rocket science. I'm figuring it out and finding my way. Are there comics like that that like are popular within the comedy world, but they're not super big names? Are there a
Yeah,
lot of
for sure.
comics like that? There's a lot like
Yeah,
that,
there's a
right?
lot, and there's a lot of like really well accomplished comics. I mean, like I like first comes to mind is like Eddie Pepitone. He's like he's big. I mean, he's respected. He's a great comic, but I don't. But you could say that name to 10 people, and maybe five of them know, five don't.
Got it.
Dude, I would even say on a huge level, Russell Peters is kind of like he's like worldwide. Like made the Forbes list of like millionaires, and I think he could probably drop in on some market, and like maybe some people wouldn't know who he was, you know. I might be wrong, but
Well, no, you
also one
got
of
it. Yeah.
I don't know, Dana Gould, who was like a writer for The Simpsons. He's like one of my favorite comics, but I think he could probably walk around town and maybe somebody would like would spot him. But yeah, that to me is like would be ultimate success. But also I'm an attention whore, so I do there is something cool about Joel, what's up? I do love that also, but I don't know if my brain can could handle it constantly.
I get it. I mean, it's a lot of pressure to carry because then everything you do and say is under a microscope, and that's where things get weird.
For sure.
But I mean, but I mean, you know where you want to go. I personally think that you're extremely funny. I think you're one of the funniest guys that I know. I love your
Thanks.
style. I love your delivery. And I could see you blowing up, bro. I could see it
Man.
happening. I could
Yeah,
see you getting
wild.
past at the store. I could see you getting past at the store. And
Yeah, for sure.
people listening, can you let the people know what that means? Because they probably don't know listening.
Yeah,
Some
so
might.
if you get past at the store, it's you become a paid regular. You the biggest thing is you get your name on the building, and that's forever, man. That's like history. People that have been passed, I mean, people that were door guys that got passed were like Jim Carrey, Marc Maron, Robin Williams, Bobby Lee started there, Ari Shaffir. There's, you know, it's kind of Ivy League of comedy is probably the best way to describe it. You know, people hear door guy and they don't know what the fuck, they think I'm just checking IDs or whatever, but it's kind of like a farm system to develop you into being a touring headliner. You get people's eyes on you. I mean, you get managers out of it, things like that.
And then
And
you
it's
get
just,
the,
I mean, yeah, go
yeah.
ahead.
No, you go, you go.
I'm just a history buff too, so and I'm from LA, so like the to me like the depth of what it means to be passed at the store is like really really heavy and a huge deal, and I that's my next biggest goal, I think. I don't know if I'm ready, but I think it's like it's coming within the next few years. I'm definitely in the system. I want to put that out there. But
Yeah.
yeah, as long
Absolutely.
as I just keep working, man. Keep
Well, the
working
key
and
too is that you're funny.
yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Not everybody gets passed just because they work there, right? I mean, you got to
For
have some
sure.
form of like appeal to an audience, right?
Yeah, appeal, work ethic. I mean, I think they want to see us trying new things, taking risks, which is really hard at a club like that because of the gravity of it all. You never know who's in the room. I mean, people are buying tickets, so you want to give them a good show. So sometimes the new shit is maybe not gonna go over for a paying audience the way that maybe you would want your act to go over. So there
Right.
is a lot of pressure as far as like trying new things out there. So sometimes I'll do new things at other shows outside of the club so that when I come back, I'll have it a little more flushed out to try. But I don't know.
Awesome.
I'm getting more comfortable there now too. I've been at the club like 6 years. I mean, I did Kill Tony there about five, and then I've been a door guy, I believe almost a year now. So
But that was different because when you were on Kill Tony, you were on the show
yeah, I
as a
was just
performer, and so you didn't actually work there. Or did you at the same time?
No, I didn't work there, and I would kind of get up on potluck every now and then, but yeah, I wasn't like doing spots there like I am now. Now I'm doing like multiple spots a week. Yeah, it's very different. But I've always felt for a long time I felt like part of the family there. And now it's
Right.
just official, you know.
And yeah, it is the comedy scene is like a family.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, if you pick the right people to be around.
Yeah, and that's where I want to get to. To me, it seems like it's kind of like bike riding and skating. What I mean by that is that it can be clicky. Like, yeah, there's this group of guys in this clique. There's this group of guys in this clique. It reminded me of like when we grew up and be like, oh yeah, the dudes in Iowa, they got their scene. The dudes in Texas got their scene. Uh-huh. Everyone has their scene, but when we get together, we're cool, but we still are part of the scene. It seems like that in comedy a little bit. Like you got these pockets, cliques of people. But you know, do you think that the Comedy Store is one of the ways to be like a well-known comedian with the internet and stuff? Things it's definitely changed the game. Like back in the day, that's how it was, right? Like the only way to get known would have been like through the store, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I think. But now this is incense too. I'm not smoking; just letting everybody.
I don't care.
I didn't.
I was like, he's lighting it up. Get it, son. I was kidding.
I'd have a fucking panic attack on this show.
I went on a show not too long ago, and it was about getting high. I was like, I don't get high, and it was just a weird moment. But I still did the podcast. But I'm like, I don't smoke really at all.
Yeah, I think, back in the day, I mean, people got saw at the store and then they got Carson, and then Carson was like the thing that blew everybody up. I think for somebody who doesn't have a TV credit or a million followers online, being a door guy and working the system at the store is one of the only ways to do it on that level. There are a lot of other ways as well. I bet people figure it out. But yeah, I think it is for me, at least, you know, it just means so much to me, man.
Yeah, it's a law of attraction too, you know. I mean, the more you put yourself out there. I noticed though, I do notice that there's because I know Danny real well at the store. We met.
Love through, Danny. Danny Dangerous.
Yeah, Danny Dangerous, the bomb. And we met at the Shamrock. I've known him for years.
Shout out to Mark Mahoney.
Yeah, shout out to Mahoney. Oh, speaking of, you're gonna be tattooed up before you know it, bro.
Dude, I'm trying, man. Yeah. Slow, you know, I always wanted to be tattooed. I caught on late, but now I'm like making up for lost time.
Do it. You only live once, dude. If that's your deal.
Dude.
Yeah. But I would see like, you know, there are quite a people at the store still that get noticed for gigs and tours and stuff and to go, you know, and it's to take that what you built at the store and on tour. And then that's when people want to see you because you're like, oh, this is a Comedy Store regular. That's like that's a pretty valuable title to have as a comic, right?
For sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, that helps you with the management and booking and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I feel. Yeah, if you're passed at the store, you're getting a huge cosign. You know, it's like being sponsored or whatever. You know, you ride for whatever company. They're like, oh shit, this guy's got a pass of some sort. But again, with the pressure thing, it's like, sure, you're passed, but what the fuck are you gonna do with it? Like, are you funny? Are you working? It's like, you know, they say it about like a famous person, like say an actor wants to do stand up. Jerry Seinfeld said like, you get maybe your fame gets you maybe 3 minutes up top where people are. Oh, this guy's famous. We're excited to see him. And then those 3 minutes are over and people are fucking looking at you for the punchlines and you don't got it. It's a lot, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do the work. I think there's a lot of justice in stand up because of that, because you're judged every 30 seconds or whatever it is. And you gotta have it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's because famous people think that they could go into something and they'll take their fame and they're going to get the same reaction that they got from like being in movies, you know. Or I mean, I had that starting a band being a bike rider, and like I tried to say earlier, not many people had bands when I started a band in bike riding. So they're like, oh I see, you don't want to compete anymore, now you start a band. And then and then when I started comedy, it was like, oh you're like a funny guy. And it's like, hello, they're all connected.
Yeah,
not,
for sure.
They're it's not like it's, you know. And plus, I made a list of things I wanted to do as a kid, and I'm just checking that shit off. You
Wild.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's
so you
great.
Learn, yeah, you learn how to do it. But some people, I get what you're saying though. What Seinfeld said is like, you think that you're going to get that reaction that you're not going to get. You know what I mean? Did you? It must have been different though for you going, because did you do stand up? Maybe it's not different, but I didn't. I don't know. I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. Did you do stand up before you were in Kill Tony, or was Kill Tony like your first comedy gig that you had?
No, I was doing stand up like 5-6 years when I got onto Kill Tony. I actually went up as a bucket pool.
Oh, cool.
A couple times, but I was friends. my buddy Pat Reagan, we were in a band together. I met him through open mics. We were just comedians like in LA, and he became the band leader on Kill Tony through like he used to do the warm up for Roast Battle, and one night he was like a he would sing funny songs, and he had a like a huge set, and I guess Rogan was there, Tony was there, Brian was there. He gave a CD to Tony. Tony listened to it. Tony loved it. Hit him up and was like, "Hey, I want you, I do this show called Kill Tony." We were still in the belly room. He said, "I want you to come be the band leader on my show." Pat went. Pat used to hit me up, be like, "You got to come to the store." I didn't have a license, so I would just roll with him, sign up, and then I didn't have a bass drum small or like a kit small enough to fit up there because it's a tiny space upstairs. And I got like a literal children's toy drum kit and just replaced the heads. I hit him up. I was like, "Hey, I got a bass drum small enough. Let's do this." So he's like, "All right, come Monday." We became the band.
Awesome.
Jeremiah was part of it. And then I remember my first time as the drummer there. I fell in love with it, and I was like, "Oh, I'm like sinking my claws into this. I'm never leaving. I'm gonna stay here, figure out a way to make myself valuable, and I'm gonna stay until they throw me out." And I just kind of like kept showing up and kept doing my giving it everything, and ended up becoming a part of the show and then touring with them, and I got to go to all over the world and stuff. It's pretty wild, man.
That's awesome. And so the reason why you're not the, well, I one of the reasons I would think is because you're not in that Kill Tony band anymore is because they
Yeah.
went to Texas and you
Yeah,
decided
they
to
went to
stay.
Texas. I just it, at the time, and also now, I didn't see myself moving there. I know they had to move to keep the show alive. I mean, the show was always evolving. And the pandemic, all that shit, a lot of stuff changed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I went to visit recently. I'm still cool with everybody. It was great. I'm happy for them. But yeah, so I was doing stand up about 5 years, and then that was like a hell of an education, man, to because especially on the drums, sitting on the drums way back, watching why people bomb, watching why people do well, watching really famous comics as the guests give advice, shit like that. So I was just kind of like soaking it all up.
Yeah.
But that was like a big part of my comedy education, you know?
Yeah, 'cause you're like right there just taking notes and just
Yeah.
learning and watching and yeah,
Low key
absorbing.
in the back, kind of, you
Yeah,
know?
there you
I mean,
go.
sometimes, but also I would say crazy shit on that show,
Oh yeah, you are funny, bro. Come on. That's
but
where I first met you. Yeah, you
yeah,
know.
for sure.
Yeah, you're super funny. What about the Comedy Mothership? What do you think of that? That is it, have you been there?
Yeah, I went. I
Did you
was there. What are
perform?
we? Yeah, I performed. Yeah, I did two shows there. My friend Brian Simpson runs a show there called Bottom of the Barrel. It's like a bucket. You pull out suggestions and you kind of riff on them.
Awesome.
I mean, dude, it's brand new. It's a beautiful club. It's like, you know, it's kind of it's hard to say anything bad about it because it's so like constructed with comedy in mind. You know, it's really great.
Yeah. I've
Yeah,
never
I
been
had
there.
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It
You'll get
seems
out
like
there.
it. Yeah, I can't wait. I just followed online and I just figured I'd ask you 'cause you know all those guys and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So then you went from the band to now the door guy. To
Yeah.
now wanting to be passed, which I think is going
Yeah.
to happen. I do. I really do. I think it's going to happen for
I
you.
do too. Yeah,
And I think you
I
should prepare yourself and be ready for that because
yeah.
then, dude, then think of this. Once you're passed, you're going to be like a freaking touring comic and you're going to be able to like make somewhat of a better living doing what you love to do. And that's kind of what
Yeah.
the American dream's about, bro.
For
You know,
sure, man.
there is an
Yeah.
American dream, but you know what I mean? You
Yeah, of
know?
course. Yeah, I get it. I get it. My dad's an immigrant, man. I watched it, you know. They own a house now. It's like
You get it.
Yeah, I get it, man.
You
I'm
gotta
all
feed
for it.
yourself, bro. You gotta
For
eat. You know what I
sure.
mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the next question I'm gonna lead to cover all the things that you do. So then Kill Tony ended, and so then now you're looking for a band, and then you started a band. Tell us about Mad Peaceful, who's in it, and how it came about, because your guys' band's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, I so what happened was I kept seeing these photos of this dude in a Black Flag jacket, and I was like, who's that guy? And then Jesse's my buddy Jesse, she's from Arizona. She knew him, and she was like, you haven't met Chappelle? You gotta meet Chappelle. Like, you guys would love each other. And then I guess people were telling Chappelle the same thing, like, oh, you haven't met Joel, you gotta meet Joel. And then we met in a green room one day at like I think it was Brea Improv. We just ended up on the same show, and we met and we hit it off. I mean, we're in the dressing room, just like, or the green room, just talking about music and stuff like that. And then the pandemic hit. Chappelle hit me up. He's like, "Hey, I want to like start a band. I want to do some cover songs." And I had buddies who had like a production, like it's a camera rental place in Echo Park, but they had that big room with like the white walls where people shoot music videos. So we were like, "All right, let's get the troops together. We'll send a playlist out. Everybody will learn these songs." We did like Bad Religion, The Germs, Bad Brains, Black Flag, all the good shit, and Misfits. And during the pandemic, we met up in that room. We shot this thing of us playing covers, and the sound was so fucked up. We never were able to release it. But through that, we were like, "Oh man, let's start writing originals." So during lockdown and shit, I would send Chappelle like guitar ideas every day, and he would send me stuff. And then once things kind of started to calm down, we rented a rehearsal studio and we started kind of writing original songs. And I think it's been like a year or two now that we've been together. We recorded an EP and we have another one that's like on the way. And it's been cool. It's been really fun, man. I didn't want to be in bands ever again because you're wrangling cats, and like you go on in 30 minutes and your bass player is an hour away, and I hated it. But now these dudes, everybody's responsible. We show up, we handle our shit. We're not around each other too much where we're like ever gonna get at each other's throats or like fighting. We're all very I don't know, we love each other, man. It's been a really positive, good experience, and I always look forward to playing with those guys.
Well, also too, you guys are all comedians, right?
Yeah, for sure. So me, I'm a stand-up. Chappelle's a stand-up. Ryan Clark, our bass player, is a stand-up. Chase, our guitar player, was a stand-up in Arizona. He knows Chappelle from back in the day. He doesn't do it anymore, but he's really funny. Chroma Chris was on Kill Tony. He was in a comedy group called the Chroma Keys, and but he's not really a comic, more of a guitar guy. But yeah, but we're all sort of like in that world. That's what brought us all together.
Yeah, and the band is called Mad Peaceful for everyone out
Yeah.
there. And so I hate asking this question because it's so stupid, but I feel like I have to ask it
Cool,
because
ask it.
people always go, "Hey, man, well, how do you ride your bike? Who do you ride your bike like?" It's like, what?
Yeah.
Who do you do stand up like? It's like
Yeah.
me. So I'll ask the question,
Yeah.
what kind of music you guys like? What style do you sound like? I hate that question. I hate it though.
Us?
You, because I
Yeah.
hate that. I'm saying
I
when
get
people
it.
ask you that shit, you're like, what? Like, but so what do you guys
Yeah.
sound like? What kind of style are you?
I would say we're a hardcore band with influences from like punk rock music. I mean, obviously it's all like incestuous, but I would say, I mean, every all those covers that we started out playing, but I came from the punk world, like Rancid, Pennywise, that shit was like my shit when I was Descendants, and so I'm kind of new to the hardcore thing. I liked a lot of those bands, but I wasn't like a hardcore kid. I was like a punk kid.
Got it.
Still learning about like Madball and fucking
Yeah.
we love Turnstile, all those like fucking I'm trying to think now, I'm blanking, but yeah, we're like a
Scowl's another one that's kind of
scowl, yeah, for
popping.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zulu, man, great band. Like just heavy music that was influenced by punk and sort of like just within that culture, Black Flag, I mean Circle Jerks, all that shit was like my shit. I mean, to this day, I don't think I'd be playing music if it wasn't for the Ramones. I think that was probably the most
Yeah.
influential band in my life. They made me believe it was possible, and yeah, to this day, man, I don't think I'd still be playing drums if it wasn't for them.
Yeah, and that's rad. I think there's the hardcore movement's kind of made this. It's kind of like that band Drain. It's another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these bands and you guys and like Turnstiles, like hardcore's kind of made this kind of like. I hate to say the word mainstream, but it has. It's
Yeah.
like a mainstream movement that it never had before, you
Yeah,
know?
Turnstile's doing now for hardcore what like Green Day and The Offspring did for punk in the 90s. Like they blew up and then it opens this door for all these like bands to be seen,
Yeah.
I heard like back in the 90s, I read the Bad Religion book and they were saying like I think it was, yeah, it was that like surfers would hit them up or whoever to like use their song for the video, and they knew back then like, yeah, just have it, take it. Because they knew
Yep.
that by giving it away, it would bring like more eyes, more ears, and it ended up like working out for them.
Oh, dude, all of us were like that, though. We would just use whatever. We
For
wouldn't even
sure.
ask. We wouldn't even
Yeah.
ask. You know, it's
Yeah,
just
of
like,
course.
you know, you'd have like AC/DC, and there was no like, no one was kind of. There was no way to trace it. There was no. It
Yeah.
wasn't
Yeah. What are you
digital.
gonna
Like,
one
yeah.
VHS somewhere? Like there was no,
I
yeah,
mean,
no
and being in a
flipper.
band, I wouldn't say do that because I'd be like, dude, you know, come on, at least give me some credit here for my, you know, at
Yeah.
least ask, you
We
know,
ask, yeah.
yeah. But that's where like Pennywise, a lot of those bands got a lot of their fan base as well through the surf videos and through that surf culture because they were Hermosa, you know, and
Fuck
they're
yeah.
also badasses. But, you know, they're amazing.
Hell yeah.
I was into hardcore. I was in the New York hardcore scene more,
Cool.
but I was also into like the straight edge scene for a little bit, and like it would go through
Yeah.
phases, but like I know what you mean. Like I was more of a fan of punk, but I was more of a fan of like Minor Threat or anything Ian MacKaye did because he just
Yeah.
wanted to change. And like I was always trying to figure my shit out and wanted to get out of the situation I was in. So I was always
For
looking,
sure.
you know what I mean? People look for music for things, right? Like
Yeah, for sure.
that can feed how you're feeling. And for me, I think that's music really brought that out in me at least. And
Yeah,
so
Minor Threat was a powerful band, man, as far as like what it, you know, finding solutions. And that was
yeah.
one of the only bands in high school that like even the drunk punks liked, even though they were straight edge. It was like you could not fuck with talent, man. They were like, you know,
The drunk dude's
incredible
like, I
to.
don't smoke, I don't drink.
Yeah. I've
Yeah.
got straight edge. You're like,
I got
what?
straight
You're
edge.
holding a 40 right now. What is happening?
Dude, I used to bus tables at the Olive Garden 18. Before I had tattoos, I had X's on my hands and I had a
Hell
shaved head.
yeah.
And I remember the manager coming over going, hey, Rick, check it out, bro. You're gonna have to take those X's off your hands. I was like, dude, I'm straight edge, bro. He's like,
Yeah.
people think you're in a cult or something.
Yeah, I get it. And some could argue it has become that at times. But I love it. I'm all for that positivity. I think it's great. I think that the straight edge thing is a lot better than some of the other shit people are getting involved in, you know. It's if I had
Well,
a
you
kid
know.
who was straight edge, I'd say fucking go for it, dude. I
Yeah,
love
just
it.
don't be preachy, brah.
Yeah, honestly, most of the guys aren't. Like the dudes who are really about it, they just live that shit. They're not like out there, you know, fucking a bunch of our friends, they're vegans, hardcore, and they just kind of walk the walk. They don't judge. You know, I've eaten meat right next to them and they don't give a fuck. They don't
Yeah,
hate
they don't
me.
care. Yeah. I think back in the day it was more like, you know, we're vegans, but I'm like, what's up with them Doc Martens?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck or like fuck the system, but they're smoking cigarettes or drinking Pabst, and you're like,
Yeah,
that's a
yeah.
big.
Yeah, it's whatever. But yeah, things have changed a lot with punk rock and hardcore and stuff. I'm psyched for you. You guys got any shows coming up? Any tours coming up with the band?
Yeah, I think we're playing July 9th at Knuckleheads in Hollywood. That's gonna be like our first like LA gig because we play Fullerton a lot, Long Beach.
I gotta roll out. That sounds dope.
Everybody's always like, "When are you playing in LA?" So we'll be fucking yeah. I think it's on Santa Monica, right? Santa Monica. I don't know the cross street, but yeah, it used to be that bar Black.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know where it is. Yeah,
For
that's
sure, hell
like,
yeah.
I think the cross street would be like, I don't know what it is. It's not like,
Is it Vine? No.
think it's somewhere around there, Vine or like,
Anyway,
not Wilton. Is it Wilton?
Highland,
Highland, something like that. Anyways,
Trejo's Donuts is near there. Yeah.
look it up. Hey, yeah, that's right. It is. I wanted to ask you this real quick, back up for a second. When you speak of like music and you're like, oh, it's different in a band because they could be chasing people around, or you're like, you know, people are like, is there a back line? Is there parking? Do we get
Oh
drinks?
my
So
God,
it's
yeah.
always something. Somebody's always got something, right? But with comedy, it's like you get the same kind of fix, what I realized for me, without all these other components. So we're
Yeah.
like, comedy's cool, but my band ain't playing, I'll do comedy. When I'm doing comedy, I'll ride my bike. When I'm doing riding my bike, I'll do this. So you're always doing something. Do you feel the same way that like comedy's in a sense is a lot easier and could be just as fulfilling as a band, but in a different way? Do you feel the
For
same way?
sure. Yeah. I think you get that same itch scratched a little bit. It's even maybe deeper because when you're playing in a band, I'm just sitting back. I am expressing myself through the drums, but like when I'm doing comedy, I'm really telling you who I am and where I'm from and what I believe and things like that. So I think just by the nature of sharing your life's perspective, it maybe front men, like the singers get it, like for you, because you got your lyrics, you're saying what you think. But there is something about like sit down, listen to me, I'm gonna tell you what I'm about. Yeah, it all feels good, man. It's all like performing, it's all expression. Yeah, I think they're all one and the same, you
They
know.
are. I always tell
Yeah.
people like, people always ask me like, oh, when I was comparing music to bikes, they'd be like, "Oh man, what do you like better?" I was like, "They're different feelings. Like BMX is a physical feeling because you're doing the tricks; it's a physical accomplishment. Music is more kind of like, since you sing, it's like a deeper, like emotional thing. And then stand up makes everything better in my life because I'm able to engage with people better, talk to people better. I take that comedy into my set and my band, or into ads with my writing, and like, you know what I'm saying? Just so I feel like stand up, for me at least, stand up's like the rawest, because people always say that, but it helps you with everything else that you want to do. Do you feel the same way with that, or is it?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, for sure. I think people that want to like pinpoint, like, well, what is it? It's like, well, I don't know. I like everything. I'm also, like I said, it's like, as a dropout or whatever it is, I got so many swords in the fire. I'm trying to see, you know, I'm trying to just sort of do everything I can to the best of my ability. So I think, yeah, they are all the same in a way.
Yeah, but you're going to fucking make it even though you dropped out of high school. You're going to make it.
No, for sure. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting anyone out there to drop out of school. I'm just
saying, don't
though,
do it.
But I'm saying, though, you're going to make it because you're multi-talented. You're a cool-ass dude. And people like to be around people that are cool. I say it all the time. Like, yeah, you could be good, but your asshole attitude's only going to last so long, and people are going to get sick of dealing with you, you know?
For sure.
Or your arrogance, your narcissism. It's just like, slow down a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we've all dealt with people like that. It's like, oh man, come on, just turn it down and you'll be all right.
Yeah, it's exactly, dude. Do you have any comedy sets coming up? Any shows with comedy?
I don't know. When does this come out?
Well, I'm going to put this out in the next week. So,
oh, okay, cool. July 15th.
Okay.
July 15th, I'll be at the Well Comedy Club in Bakersfield. I'm featuring for my friend Jesse Johnson. So I'll be out there, Bakersfield. I know there's a lot of BMXers out there. Come see me.
Yeah, dude. And that's a cool club, by the way. Have you been there before?
Okay. No, I've heard great things, though, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I performed there a couple times, actually. It's actually
cool.
It's a cool spot. Absolutely cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
I'm stoked. But listen, can you drop? I love for people to get to know you, to follow you, what you're doing, your band, your comedy, everything. Can you tell people where to follow you on social medias?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. My personal Instagram is @mostlysorry. I got a podcast I do at the Comedy Store with my friend Saul and Hormos called Dogs of Browntown. So @dogsofbrowntown on Instagram. I got a deep dive music podcast with Chappelle Lacey called Lesser Known Characters, @lesserknowncharacterspod. And I play drums in a hardcore band called Mad Peaceful. So @madpeacefulband on Instagram. Check them all out. Check one out. Whatever you like. They're there for you.
I love it, dude. Yeah. You know what would be cool? Have you guys ever thought about, well, this might be cheesy. I don't know if it's cheesy. Mix the comedy with the music on your shows.
I think we've been very adamant about trying to keep them separate. Just because we respect the music so much. We don't want to use any sort of, we want to kind of like really respect it and be like a band when we're a band and kind of, you know. So sometimes, who knows? I don't know what the future is.
Well, sometimes people, hardcore kids, might not want to be sitting here and listen to comedy. I mean,
no, I get it. It seems like a natural progression, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but I mean, they're together, and you're killing it. And I'm going to see you up at the store.
Man. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'll see you soon, man. Thanks for having me,
dude. I'm stoked. I'm glad that we. I mean, you know, hey, I'm glad we're friends, and we have a lot in common.
Me too.
And so hopefully we could do some more shows together. And everyone out there, follow Jimenez. Did I get it right?
Jimenez.
How the fuck did I get it wrong again?
It's fine. I
practiced it so many times.
You didn't say Jimenez.
Well, how do you say it again?
Oh, no. Joel Jimenez.
Jimenez. That's what I said.
Yeah. You said Jimenez. Jimenez. Ibanez. Listen, Joel Ibanez.
I may have graduated school, but I flunked English.
You speak it fine. It sounds
great.
But that's
Spanish, though. I flunked Spanish. I didn't even take Spanish.
Yeah, you're right. I failed Spanish, and I speak it.
Damn. Yo, I was from Missouri, so like I took Spanish, and like at the time no one was speaking Spanish.
Hilarious. Yeah.
And I just like didn't pay attention and failed it. So sorry, bro. That's why I call everybody dude.
That's great. Dude is fine.
Because I'll never forget, dude. I'll never forget you, dude.
Hell yeah, dude. You got it.
Okay, much love, Joel. I'll talk to you
soon.
Hell
yeah, dude. Hell yeah, right. Peace, man. Have a good day, Rick.
You too. Later. Peace out. Bye.